In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Amen. My husband and I are getting ready to celebrate our 10th anniversary this week. And a couple of weekends ago, my husband and I both together had the privilege of officiating my best friend's wedding. One of the ways that we prepared and we asked others to prepare for marriage in the church is by offering premarital counseling and making that a mandatory thing that they do together. My husband and I found in these sessions for us, and we found it for others, that it's a way for couples to open up to one another about things they'd never even considered in the first carefree days of their relationship. Money, extended family issues, how the couple each deals with conflict. It almost always brings about an interesting conversation. It's been shown that people who take part in premarital counseling are less likely to have a divorce. Whether you're here today as a married person, single person, a widow or divorced, today's scriptures are ultimately about our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. And according to the Hebrews, it's that God made us through Jesus Christ to be the exact imprint of God's very being. Now, of course, along the vein of love and marriage and relationships, we can't ignore that Jesus leads off in the gospel today with his teachings about divorce. So if love is grand, what is divorce? 100 grand, at least. In all seriousness, for many in the church, Jesus' teachings on divorce can be painful to hear. I find it's really important on a day like today to put the scripture into its context. Jesus is saying this in the first century in the Roman Empire, not in America in the 21st century. The structure of society was vastly different then. In Jesus' time in the Roman Empire, women were the property of men. They either belonged to a family as an unmarried woman, or they married into another family as that family, that husband's legal property. A man could, by Jewish law, divorce his wife. But in doing so, it would effectively put her out on the street to fend for herself. It was a cruel act. A woman could not simply find a job or remarry. There was no alimony or child support. Divorce was a death sentence for a woman. So when the disciples are asking Jesus about the law, he's saying, look at your hard hearts. He's condemning divorce and he's trying to make a bigger point. He's trying to get at how do we respect the dignity of every human being in our laws. So for Jesus to say, look, providing a certificate does not get you off the hook. Her dignity needs to be upheld as well. This was a way of Jesus saying, God loves and values every single person and desires that cruelty and violence not be done to anyone. Today's gospel was not written to shame people about divorce. It was written to protect women, to transform people to see beyond black and white and what it means to want the best for one another and for our families and society. So for people who've been shamed by this text, I want to say on behalf of the church, I'm sorry. I know plenty of people who've left marriages because essentially one or both parties were not respecting the other's dignity. I've counseled abused women and even one man in the church as a priest, and I've blessed their decisions to leave a marriage. And I could use scripture, tradition, and reason to do so. Because when marriage vows to love and honor and cherish are decimated, that leaves little left for a healthy marriage. So let's get to what this gospel is really about. Did either of you see this weekend the Banksy painting that sold for $1.4 million? Yeah, it was the balloon painting. It went on auction and sold for $1.4 million. And then as the gavel went down and they said sold, the piece went through a shredder right before everybody's very eyes. The gospel today is like the Banksy painting. You think it's one thing, and then it becomes another. They're actually saying now this painting that was worth $1.4 million is probably worth even more, destroyed. So the gospel is urging us to see things in a different way than what we expect. And you have this shift from divorce to Jesus suddenly being all about welcoming children. And it seems really abrupt, but it's actually Jesus driving home his point. It's him sending the artwork through the shredder. Jesus says to his disciples, "Because of your hardness of heart, I wrote this commandment for you." In the Greek, the words for hardness of heart are sclerocardia. You know those words from the medical profession. We're continuing to use these words as a literal calcification of the heart. A heart clogged by things that stop it from working. This past week, I was scanning through some memes on Facebook, and among all the images of this past week, there was one with this child with open arms and a huge smile on her face, and you could just see the brightness of her heart in the image. And the meme said, "She's there inside of you, waiting for you." We're in a time where there are a lot of heart-clogging images and ideas floating around in the ether. They have the power to harden our hearts. So an image of a child and her innocence is a welcome one. Jesus pointed toward children in the gospel today, and children encapsulate the prayer that we begin our worship with each week. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Can you imagine a world where your heart could just be open? Where our desires were pure enough to just be openly known? A place where there's no need for secrets. That's the world of a child. In Jesus' first century world, children weren't really useful. Their open-heartedness was dismissed. They, like a divorced woman, had no social status, nothing really to contribute. And in today's reading, children are symbolized as powerless, dependent, and receptive. And Jesus says, be like them. Powerless, dependent, and receptive. The disciples want to dismiss the children, and Jesus says, let them come. The psalm in the letter to the Hebrews pushed forward this idea this morning. In the psalm, out of the mouths of infants and children, God's majesty is praised above the heavens. And in a nutshell, Jesus came to reveal that God is actually imprinted on our very soul, is at the core of our open hearts. And God did this by sending Jesus to become human and dwell among us and understand our human messiness. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus is named as the exact imprint of God's very being. And in God offering Jesus shows us the path toward polishing and reflecting the image of God in our own souls. Commentator Susan R. Andrews writes, "Jesus is the real thing, the authentic pioneer of God-drenched living, reflecting the glory of God in flesh and blood experiences of earthly life." Hebrews 2 uses Psalm 8, that ode to the wonder and holiness of human creation, connects all people to the glory of Christ and suggests that we too can grow toward perfection if we travel the way of Jesus, the way of love that gives up in order to give life to all. Now that word perfection in this Hebrews text, it does not mean excellence out of reach of ordinary human experience. Perfection in a gospel sense means completeness, fully carrying out the purpose for which we've been created, clearing out the clutter and corruption of our living so that the imprint of God's very being, which is in each and every one of us, can be fully revealed. So for the next month, we're going to be looking at what it means to live with open hearts, ready to serve with our time, our talent, our treasure. And today's the groundwork for all of that. We're here participating in worship, where we believe that to God our hearts are open, our desires are known, and from whom we don't need to hide anything. Jesus was the exact imprint of God's very being, sent to reveal that you and I are too marvelous. We are a marvelous mosaic of the very being of God. So where do we begin, and how do we start to live with open hearts? It starts with us coming to this table, breaking bread together, realizing that our heart is always open in the eyes of God, and that God longs for our hearts to be more open in the world. And we start to achieve that by realizing that there's a mystery at work in the bread and wine made holy. We are celebrating that the Spirit of the living God is actually moving and flowing through each of our very beings. And when we leave today, I saw one of you already has a copy. I'll give you a copy now. It's a spiritual gifts inventory. It's a chance to celebrate some of what God made you to be, the imprint of God's very being on your soul, to explore what the gifts are given to you by God to help fulfill the mission of the church. It takes some time to complete. I geek out over this stuff, so I love it, and I realize some people are like, oh my gosh, there are so many questions. But the point is to mine what your God-given talents are, your spiritual gifts, and then share them with one another. So I'm asking everyone in this parish to complete one of these by October 28th, and on the 28th, we'll have a celebration of our spiritual gifts. So today, the good news is that we worship a God who lifts up our authentic selves and protects our authentic selves, who honors who we really are deep down, and who makes something hopeful even out of our struggles and our sufferings. You are filled with life and light, and you have a heart that's waiting to be opened and offered. In Jesus' name, amen.